Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope you're having a pleasant hump day, Wednesday, May 18th. So far, we come in here now with the Miami Heat having won one game, at least up 1-0 in the East Final, I believe, as predicted by our man John Martin. He told us that those teams coming off of a Game 7, right, that just had one day rest, essentially, before you had to start up, were what, about 39% in terms of winning percentage? They lost after a good start last night.
Hell of a start.
Yeah, the Boston Celtics didn't have enough gas, and I'll tell you what, got blown out in the third quarter. Jimmy Butler, man. He saved some, didn't he, John?
Yes, he did. How about this?
Go ahead.
Here's a crazy piece of this. The Boston Celtics won three of the four quarters.
Yeah, but again, I keep hearing, I don't want to hear about the fourth, right, after Miami's already taken control. But they won the fourth quarter. But the game was over by then.
That's what it goes to show you. Like, you can't lose by 25 in a quarter.
That was a bad quarter.
Yeah.
It was absolutely bad. What, 39-14?
It's probably the worst quarter, frankly, the Celtics have played all season long.
Well, they made some great adjustments, including on Tatum in the second half.
You really thought Eric Spoelstra was not going to do that?
No, I thought Miami would win game one. Boston's still going to take this series in six, like I told you yesterday. So I'm not surprised by anything I saw yesterday other than the margin in that third
quarter. Well, again, though, like, no Horford game two. We'll see on Marcus Smart.
Yeah, like, well, he was nice.
That was a curveball.
Yeah, he was in a nice little outfit, little Miami outfit. Marcus Smart yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Fine, a little bouncing around enough to me. He should be out there next game.
They needed him. I mean, because it ended up falling to Aaron Nesmith, whose minutes, he had a couple blocks, but his minutes were just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, not 790 in Miami. This is 92.9 FM ESPN, which it could be whatever you want it to be. I mean, we could break down the whole entire game.
But you seem so excited to come in and talk about Jimmy there. We wanted to let you in there.
Jimmy Butler Day, baby.
Where the Orlando Magic won for the fourth time. They've won the draft lottery. Congratulations to the Magic on getting the number one pick. Probably going to take a point guard.
They probably will take a point guard. That's their MO.
It is their MO, man.
So we have a lot to get to on the show today. Man, we have a big show planned for you today.
I'm excited.
Mark Giannato is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies wrap-up, get his thoughts on the rest of the NBA playoffs, the draft coming up. And then at 1:25, very excited about it. You knew we were going to do it. Kendrick Davis, incoming University of Memphis point guard, AAC Player of the Year, is going to join the show. And, look, we have a lot to ask. We're going to ask him about the process. We're going to ask him about joining this roster, ask him what he plans to do, NCAA tournament thoughts about, you know, the ruling and all, everything that's looming over the program right now. There's just a lot to get to with Kendrick Davis. Sure. And so he is confirmed to be joining us. Lock it in at 1:25.
Excellent.
So really, really excited to have him. You know, certainly it feels like one of the more exciting prospects they have had in here. It's different, right? It's different than Jalen Duren and Imani Bates in a way, right? Because those guys were promising and they were high-ranking draft prospects. This is a guy who's coming in as an established, great college basketball player.
Yeah, Jalen Duren and Imani Bates never answered the point guard question. That was
correct.
The one thing. He had great talent,
well,
right? But you never had that question answered. You tried Imani there. That question's now answered for at least a season.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Assuming that Kendrick Davis is coming, this NBA stuff.
We'll ask him about that. Yep.
He's got his workouts, everything else. But, yes, you answer that question once and for all, and, yeah, you know, it's for 1 year, but at least for 1 year, you got it locked down with a conference play of the year in that spot.
Absolutely. So we're going to be joined by Kendrick Davis at 1:25. Looking forward to that. But we have a lot to touch on. I was told by management that I was not going to be allowed to talk about the Miami Heat for an entire open. So we had to break it up into categories and segments here. Mm-hmm. Let's do over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Under.
Well, let's start with the Tigers, since we have Kendrick Davis coming
yes,
on the show.
LT Grace.
We are getting into the hot stove league for the Tigers because you
this
got...
This is when Penny operates.
Yeah.
Penny keeps it hot up into late spring and summer.
This is the time where we start having some off-season fun.
That's right.
Some changes and potential roster additions or people that have been on the roster. We're going to start with DeAndre Williams. Because, John, you got a heater here you started with in your writing for the Daily Memphian and on the air, talking about his NIL deal. Five figures over-under for the NIL deal for DeAndre Williams.
Over-under.
Five yeah. figures.
So, give us a little context on
yeah,
the story.
Yeah, so the backstory is, talk to Kenneth Roy recently, who's, of course, his coach from Nationwide Academy, kind of his mentor, and we were just talking about the process. DeAndre is going through the draft process. We talked about it yesterday. Celtics have reached out. Jazz have reached out. Pistons have reached out.
Good.
So they're going.
Good.
He's feeling good, right? That's the most, he's pain-free, back's good.
That's important.
That's good stuff.
26-year-old DeAndre Williams.
Yeah, he'll be 26. He's not 26 yet.
Close.
Yeah, he'll be 26 by the time the next season starts.
Okay.
It's all the same, right? The topic of NIL came up because... I even had this conversation with Kenneth Roy going into last season because they saw Imani and Jalen Durr, the reports, right?
Of course.
We were all talking about the reports because it was enacted last July, NIL. And I think they always felt like, which I think is a natural thing to feel, well, what about us?
We talked about this when NIL became NIL.
Yep.
How are you going to keep everybody happy?
Absolutely.
Especially if someone starts to contribute more.
Yep.
Than what the guys that are making more
right.
in NIL.
Lester had an NIL deal.
With Isaiah Wong down in Miami,
yes.
It's the same thing. This
yes.
was always going to come.
So we got into that conversation, and Kenneth told me that it's sort of been indicated to him that if they do decide to come back, there are going to be opportunities for significant, quote-unquote, nice NIL deals, right? Five figures, so that would be $10,000. I'll say over. If that is true, right? If a nice
five figures could be $99,999.
Well, it could be that, but it could. I'm not thinking like.
But you started it at the beginning of five figures.
We got to root it in reality
Damn. Well, I'm just kind of seeing
what you offer up some of yours paycheck.
What I'm letting you know is there's a range when it comes to five figures. And,
yes,
and you
I'm
set the bar.
You started
at the very bottom.
Well, because you go from having nothing. You don't go from having nothing to having $100,000, right? Like that to me feels. A little bit far-fetched. But I do think,
DeAndre Williams, for what he's been for you the last few years.
They should be able to
find
a $10,000, $20,000.
He was MVP 2 years ago.
100%.
Okay. And then last year, you realize still, just as important in the sense that he had to be on the floor. Like when this team was competing at its best, DeAndre Williams was on the floor and at the center of things. And so, again, whatever the number is, you got it. You got to bump him up. Why should it be different here or for DeAndre Williams than it is for anybody else in college basketball right now? This is what you've created. It's the marketplace.
100%.
DeAndre deserves more. So I go over here on the five figures and with John starting it at $10,000.
Yeah, we're going to start at $10,000, but we have a lot of room to work here. I mean, if you're being told that a nice NIL deal awaits, then we can get that for you.
Well,
then that's not going to be $4,500. I mean, because
that's what I'm saying. Like,
bro,
that's almost a slap
in
the face.
Jonathan Lawson got that with the summer camp he worked last year.
Exactly, to a person. So this is easily over because it would be a slap in the face to be down in the $8,000 for a man of DeAndre Williams.
He would take it. I mean, any of us would. If anybody out there has an NIL deal for me for $8,000, I will not consider it a slap in the face, just for the record. But yes, if you're being told.
$8,000 slap in the face to DeAndre Williams.
Nice. Nice means to me, yes.
A
five
bump.
Figures. Yes. Yes. He got something.
This one's not tough.
He got the, they started that 901 fund, right?
Yes.
And he got the, I think he tweeted about the Forrest Spence race, which, it's a charity thing. I can't imagine he got much more than a few $100 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Something. It's something. I'm not trying to diminish that. But, I mean, when you're talking about NIL deals, you look around at the Alabama quarterback getting what the Tennessee quarterback get? $8 million or something?
Yep. Yes, but over 4 years. We'll
still
see how much of it he gets. But yes, that's the nature of the business now.
Yeah.
It's about right for the Tennessee quarterback.
Oh, for sure. You may have to be, but you don't have to. There's a lot of room, though, between $500 and $8 million, though, right, for a Memphis Tiger basketball player. You can certainly find.
There's got to be somebody willing to pay it, though.
I mean, there should be as much damn money as there is in, you know, that community, right? There's got, I mean, as many boosters as there are.
This doesn't look the same if it's Kendrick Davis, Lester Quinones, and you trying to figure out what the bigs are going to be.
Mm.
A big part
Agreed.
Of how we
is
feel
DeAndre
about
returning.
This coming season is DeAndre returning. If a bump in the NIL is what makes that happen, you do it in college basketball these days for a player as important as DeAndre. Not to mention, remember, Penny has said, I want to be older and stronger. He goes to that. You give him the bump.
Absolutely.
Over five figures. This is easy.
I'm with you. I agree. Over.
All right. How many more?
He gets to six.
Excuse me?
I hope he gets to six for the young man. God bless him. Whatever he can get, go get it.
I hope everybody gets whatever they can get. You know what I'm saying? How many more additions Penny Hardaway will make to the roster before this season starts? The number? 2.5 additions for Penny Hardaway.
Over. Under.
I got to say over. I gotta believe it'll be over, just for depth purposes. Well, we know they need two. We know they need two spots off top. They have to have another two guard, right? And they have to get a big. Mm-hmm. So that's two. So the question just is, are they going to add another reserve piece? Are you happy with Jaden, Jonathan, Chandler, Malcolm? And then again, in this scenario where you had a two starting two guard, Elijah. So that's 10.
That's going over.
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
He's got to fill it out. What, are you at 8 or 9 on scholarships now?
It's got
to
be.
You got to get to 13. This is going over.
I think
what it's going to look like.
How
I can't.
Many more impactful players will he add to it?
I still think three at least.
I agree.
The two, if we're counting a Caleb Murphy type.
Yep.
Right, and then something else, whether it's off the bench or whatever else, you're at least at three guys that you expect to be impactful, I would think.
Yep.
In addition to what you've – in addition to Kendrick Davis, obviously, I'm saying.
I heard this thrown around with Giannotto and Jeffrey's show, and I want to get your thoughts on this, that you don't fill it out anticipating Scali reductions because of sanctions or problems with the NCAA.
You can't. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can do that because you don't know. I mean, so you can't.
But anticipating is what I'm saying.
I mean,
but if you have no clue on whether those are coming or not, why would you do that ahead of time?
I don't know.
Now, if you got me. If you had some information that was coming, it would make some sense. But if you're just guessing, there's no reason to do that because you have absolutely no idea what's coming.
That's
now.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be like
till it applies and see if you can get it kicked down the road to another season.
To me, it's the same reason why you don't talk about the NCAA tournament stuff because you don't know.
Right.
Right. Like you're not going to be like. Warning these kids if you don't have a reason to warn. Like, nobody knows.
They don't even have the hearing set yet, as far as we know.
You're trying to get them on campus, too.
Yeah, oh, for sure. 100%. There's some gamesmanship to it, but that's the way it goes. I mean, and then you just, to me, everything related to the ruling and the punishment for Memphis is all 100% cross that bridge when we get to it. And there's no reason, and I know some people might say, well, what if, kids are going to be fine. Kids are going to have a chance to leave. They can transfer without penalty if Memphis gets a postseason ban. This is not going to be a situation where they're stuck here, Kendrick Davis included. So I would not make any kind of arrangements until I absolutely had to, and I don't think Memphis is going to.
I mean, you're trying to sell your house. What, you're going to take them to the spot that looks the worst in the house? You know what
I'm saying?
Like, you don't take them there first.
No, you let them find it.
And they start asking those questions? Well, you better have some answers because you're trying to sell the house, right?
Sure,
but that ain't the first thing you take them to. You talk about all the good, and I think that's what the case has been here.
Yeah, that's like smart, Jason.
That sounds like somebody who's been through that process before.
That sounds like someone who's got a schlub house to sell you.
Well, we got out of it, baby. Praise
my
God.
Guy.
And praise Jennifer Carson.
My man. Number of first-round picks used to Live Love Memphis Group. There you go. Number of first-round picks used to select players by the Memphis Grizzlies.
See what that meant, what that is there? Instead of using them to trade, you're actually picking players with those two picks?
I like the question, yeah.
What, I got 22 and 29?
You got it right here.
What's the number?
The number set by our line Smith is 1.5.
Over. Under.
Will they use both picks on players to add to the team?
They will
so
not.
So, in other words, the answer could be they're trading 2 for 1, and it could be an under?
I think there's a decent chance they select none.
Wow.
I give that a healthy percentage, right? I think they probably select one. I think the answer is 100% under.
Under.
Yeah. I don't think there's room for two rookies on this roster
that's
right
fair.
Now.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the
That's the point. That's a good point.
Because, like, where are they going to play? Right?
Well, one of them's going to play backup point guard.
I mean, that's...
I know some people have said, well, when you're so close contention, you got a rookie backup point guard, that's a dangerous... And it is.
It is. Yeah.
But right now, for this team and the way its salaries are... It's perfect, quite frankly, that you're not having to invest a ton of money into Tyus or whatever else, and you can do this on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
If the guy's a good fit.
Well, that's the only place that anybody could play. Because nobody's playing on the wing, and nobody's playing in the front court. I mean, maybe backup center, but, I mean, you've got Tillman and you've got Brandon Clark. You know, you've got Jaren. I mean, I just don't know where a rookie would have a chance to play elsewhere besides behind Ja.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
think they use both picks on players that they keep here.
Yeah, like one of those is definitely going to get...
Under is the answer.
Like, I guess...
Dealt.
I guess there's a chance that one of them, like 29, is a draft and stash.
Yeah.
I guess that's a possibility, you know?
And, I mean, they could use, again, to move up. Grizzlies have moved up.
But that
Kleiman
feels more
loves
like
moving
it.
Up. I mean, if it happens or not.
That feels more like it.
That's a possibility, like too. I just don't see him taking two rookies.
You move up or you go out and you use those picks to get a player.
Kleiman loves to move up.
Yeah. I was surprised that Santi wasn't a draft and stash or something like that.
Essentially, he was, though, right? I mean, he basically just got stashed
in the G League.
Yeah.
That's the new draft and stat. I mean, he had a couple of games.
Was he two-way? I'm trying to remember if Santi was two-way.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, first-round pick. So
number
he has
30.
Been a full contract.
Yeah.
So he's a full contract rookie.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. I think it's under two. I think they'll trade him. I think those will get wiped.
Again, you don't have the room for two rookies on this. I mean, you just do not. Plus, you mentioned Santi already. Like, there's no room. You're trying to develop Zaire. You're trying to develop Santi.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any chance they draft two rookies.
What do you guys think of the odds of those getting packaged with a current existing roster player for an acquisition?
I think it's
quite possible.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan Brooks. Hello.
That's where I'm going with this.
We've seen it before. Draft night trades happen all the time.
Yeah.
You know, would I predict it? I wouldn't necessarily predict it, but I think we're all ultimately going to get to the same place, which is Dylan Brooks is going to end up being traded by the Grizzlies, like whether it's on draft night or whether it's at the trade deadline. I mean, is there any other scenario?
This is not going to be a Tyus and Kyle situation where you get to the end of the contract and be willing to let him walk. It's
no
not
way.
Happening.
Right.
He's
no
an
way.
Asset right now, yes. And you're going to cash that in at some point.
Yeah, he's coming off a hell of a game. Game six. I mean, just look at watch the first quarter and don't watch any of the rest.
Can we delete that other one?
it's funny. There's clearly a difference, though, with you on you want Tyus to take right, that little bit, give us a discount so we get him back in there. But Dylan Brooks, you're not interested in that. If he came back on a team friendly deal, would you be here? Or have you already put that?
Well, you've already put that stamp on that thing. No, if he comes back on a team friendly deal, yeah, I'm cool with it. But he won't because he already did.
I don't suspect he will.
He already
either.
Did that, correct. Right? He already took a team friendly
right.
deal,
and just like Tyus and him needing to cash in. Right, I would say Dylan Brooks is you only got so many opportunities.
Right,
when it's time to cash in, and you've already given out discounts.
No doubt. It's one thing when you're Tom Brady and your wife is a friggin' billionaire too, and you can take all the team friendly deals you want. You know, especially if it means you're going to get Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski and Chris Godwin back and all that, or you shore up your defense. But if you're Dylan Brooks, like, how many team-friendly deals are y'all expecting me to take in my career?
Or if you're going to make $37.5 million after you're done with football in the booth.
You're completely covered, bro.
I just assume all these players are not taking discounts for Memphis. And I'm not trying to disrespect Memphis. I love Memphis. That's my team.
Well, some might. I mean,
who's taking a discount to stay in Memphis?
I mean, it's possible Tyus does. I don't rule it out. I wouldn't bet on it.
I think a guy like Kyle might.
Right. Kyle
because
could.
The market,
his market
for Kyle right
needs,
now.
Right.
Yeah,
the
maybe a million
like
or two
Kyle
difference. Okay, I can get down with that.
Because Kyle's just not going to be in demand. Exactly.
Right. That's it. I don't think he'll have to take a discount. It'll just be what it is.
Kyle's not in demand by me. Like, I mean, if he's back,
I'm fine with Kyle because he fills holes.
He's fine.
If you can't do better.
But he's such a liability.
I think that's the issue with Brooks, honestly. I think the reason why Brooks is still on this roster, and this is, again, not pissing on Brooks' party, but he's a good player, he's not a great player, and he's a fine player, and he's a good role player where he's at, but it's like, I think the value market for him is low. And we keep talking about trades for Brooks, including me, but it's like, I think what we've learned is just like, there's no market for him.
Well, you,
I don't know, man. Dylan's a two-way guy. He's a starter and a guy who will shut down the other teams or at least play him.
There's
the
some
other
recency
team's number
bias
one.
Here with how poorly he played in the playoffs.
Right.
But I mean,
look at what he did against Utah in the playoffs.
Teams talk
though,
themselves into like if a team can talk themselves into James Harden, and I'm not saying Dylan Brooks is James Harden.
But
people talk themselves into players all the
time.
He's
a starter,
right?
Right.
Like,
he's a starter. I feel that.
I mean, you're not going to get a king's ransom for him, but it's just about accumulating.
And again, a good to great defender.
Right.
Oh,
good
I agree
to
with
great
that. No
defender.
Question about it.
Like,
no question
like
about it.
Matters in the league. Brooks could be a missing piece for somebody.
Exactly.
He could be a wing defender. Like, Charlotte needs a wing defender. I'm not saying that's where he's going, but like, there are just lots of teams out there that need some toughness, and he brings that.
I think he's we're hitting on it. I think you're nailing this. He's a $12 million player. That's exactly what he is.
What's he getting now?
His average salary is 11.6, $35 million through 2023.
Well, and again, the Grizzlies have to make that fundamental choice of, you know, is Dylan Brooks going to be our grown-up in the room, right? Like, that's what they have to decide. Is he going to be
Is
he going to be our veteran? Is he going to be, you know, and I don't know. I don't see it. But I guess crazier things have happened.
Yep. And then finally tonight, here on 92.9, we've got it. Dallas and Golden State, 8 o'clock tip, right? So it's a little later tonight. It's a 5.5 point.
Killing me, man.
I know. They're
killing
doing
these
late
these tips.
But we did get the lottery last night, at least on the pregame. The number is 5.5. Golden State favored by 5.5.
Over. Under.
I'm going to defer to Jason on this one because, as he knows, my eyeballs are all on the Miami Heat and Celtics series.
I'll go over here. Golden State's going to cover.
Yep.
So it's interesting.
It's the same thing, too. We can apply from Boston coming off the game 7.
I think you got it.
And even with a great start here, I think at some point you're going to see Golden State take control of this game at home. I told you Golden State in 5. So I got them winning game 1.
A lot of weapons.
And winning it handily.
Yeah, like.
Go ahead.
I think that there are, you know, I like to narrow things down. I like to narrow outcomes down.
Good.
I think there are 2 outcomes. I think the Warriors win going away, or the Mavericks just win. Like, I don't think it's going to be a close Warriors win. And I don't think the Mavs are going into Golden State tonight and winning the game.
You know they're not doing
that. I just don't.
Winning handily.
Now, look, a part of me is very tempted to hit Dallas here because Luka has just been.
Part of me was tempted to take Boston last night.
Well, see.
I'm glad I didn't.
That was your indigestion that you were dealing with.
No, I remembered 39% winning percentage. Coming off a game 7, only one day of rest.
A true sharp would have bet Boston first half.
Man, they did start out. Dang, I should have took them.
I did not take Boston first half.
You did not?
No.
They just didn't have enough weapons.
By the third quarter, though.
I had Heat full game.
Yep.
I mean, and I had Heat halftime money line plus 155. That was never a sweat, thankfully.
Nice.
I've been watching this documentary that I recommend. It's called Action. It's on Showtime. And it's basically like Showtime went into Vegas in 2019 and just chronicled a bunch of like professional sports bettors for the NFL. I recommend it. It's pretty good. Anyway, yeah.
Action.
I'm tempted to take Dallas because Luka has been that dude.
Stop.
But I just
I know
don't,
you're coming back home.
Come I on. Don't think
Come on.
Today is the day to do it. I will be betting them in Dallas. I will be betting them like guilt-free in Dallas because they can't lose there. But I just think this is, again, much like Miami last night, a statement opportunity. All the Golden State Warriors have heard for the last 4 or 5 days is Luka, 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 Luka. Here he comes. Here he comes, Luka. And it's going to be the rare situation where Golden State feels a little disrespected, you know? And so I think they're going to respond appropriately. So I do think Golden State probably takes this game by double digits.
They're going to win handily.
Even though it's a heavy public, it's a public deal. Like, all the betting public is on Golden State, which is just always got to be careful. But last night, all the public was on the Heat, especially after Horford and Smart were ruled out.
Right.
So sometimes it just comes in like that. All right, Mark Giannone's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him, get his thoughts on the wrap-up of the Grizzlies season, the rest of the NBA playoffs, and more. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
NBA playoffs heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, their official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel's got so many ways to play. Best of all, when you do win, you're going to get paid fast. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JSmith to get your first bet risk-free. It's up to $1,000. Once again, that's promo code JSMITH. If you already have an account, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't wince. Only on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issues, non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Michael Jenkins, helping you beat the books with BetQL. Tonight, we get the first game in the Western Conference Finals. The Dallas Mavericks look to stay hot against the Golden State Warriors. The Mavs won 3 of 4 during the regular season. Each team ranks in the top 3 of points allowed per game, and the Mavericks went under in 4 of their past 5 games. The Warriors, meantime, have gone under in 3 of their past 5. With the total set at 214 and a hook, take a hard look at the under trend to continue.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yet again.
Mark Giannotto is the sports commentator over at CommercialAppeal.com, host of Giannotto and Jeffrey. He's here in studio. Season's over, man. Have you taken a breath? Have you exhaled?
Yeah, well, I got it. We were in San Francisco so much that my body was like on West Coast time there by the end. Like, I was, you know, took even like, and last night was the first night where I felt like I went to sleep on Central time. It took a minute there because, like, it got hectic. Like, when I came in here last week, like, it was like I got back from San Francisco
right
Tuesday at 6, then covered game 5. Tuesday night, left FedEx Forum at like 2:30 because it was a late tip, and I was literally on a plane going back to San Francisco by 10:30 in the morning, like 8 hours later. It was crazy. And then, you know, you fly to San Francisco, cover the game Friday night, and then you're back here Saturday.
And all the CA then, gives you is this sweet, sweet shirt.
It is a great shirt.
Yeah. It's a classic.
Is it one of those deals where, you know, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened?
Yeah, it was fun. Like, I mean, like, ultimately, when you look back on everything, but both the playoffs, and then now the playoffs were a little, you know, it was more difficult, more obstacles, more, it felt like more setbacks, certainly,
the
than the regular
were, like,
season.
Tense,
yes.
You know?
But it was all a lot of fun. Like, the Minnesota series, a lot of fun. The Golden State series, like, when we look back on it, like, I know it was, it felt like the Grizzlies caught really very few breaks in that entire series. And yet I think they're going to come out, like, having gone through all that, you know, I think when we look back on it with that 10,000 foot lens, we're going to look back on the whole experience, whether it was the joy of this regular season that caught a lot of us by surprise and, you know, took them to, you know, second in the entire NBA, which is crazy to think about. Or when we look back on kind of, you know, what ultimately roadblocked them in the playoffs, it's all going to be looked back on, I think, in a very positive way.
Yep.
Like as the foundation of what this team, this group ultimately becomes. This was the first, you know, I'm not going to say real is the wrong word, but like the first year as an actual contender. And when I say they're going to build from here, it doesn't mean like they're going to just automatically go to the conference finals next year or the finals next year. But when you look back on it with the 10,000-foot lens, this is going to be – you're going to look back at this as kind of the end of the beginning, you know? And, like, there's a new phase now of this whole deal, and the only way you could get to it was to go through a year like you just went through. And, yeah, I mean, there's things to be regretful about just because when you look at that Golden State series, you know, you could have won game one, could have won game four, didn't have Ja for the last three. Mm-hmm.
Steven Adams
for the first couple games. Dylan gets suspended and, you know, like gets derailed basically until game six. So there were a lot of things that could have gone differently. And even if just one or two of them go differently,
right,
you can win that series. But again, you look at the history of the NBA, it is very rare a team built like how Memphis is built, like built organically,
yep,
in a lot of ways from the ground up. You know, it was all, you know, yep, even though, yes, you got the number two pick to get Ja, that was more luck than anything else. Ultimately, this whole thing was built organically. Teams that are built organically tend to go through this.
Yep.
Where they, you know, they lose in the playoffs once or twice. And, you know, let's be fair, some teams never ever get over that hump.
Yeah.
You know, like the Utah Jazz,
sure,
are a perfect example of, well, it feels like maybe they'll never get over that hump.
Portland didn't get over the hump.
Yeah. Well, they made
Western
a conference finals.
That's not over the
they
hump.
They got swept, though, or lost in
yeah,
five, right?
I still
it's
feel
been
like,
downhill since then.
But I look no, at that right. Portland
that, that, that's, that's on, a that, cautionary that, tale because, like, that, I was thinking about teams. Who are the teams that everybody fundamentally agreed on there as a consensus the future is bright? Portland Trailblazers.
They were there.
Right, they had Dame,
yes,
they had CJ.
They were making moves.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, when you look back
Aldridge,
at their rosters.
Right? And failed.
Yeah, I guess with Aldridge, you can look at it as they never got over the hump. But I kind of look at those Portland teams as almost like, given the roster they had, and sort of the shape of the league at the time they were rising, like who the other teams, it does feel like when I look back on it, they got pretty close to their ceiling as a group.
But you would not take that right now.
No, no, no.
Nobody would take – you wouldn't say, all right, give me the height of the Portland Trailblazers with Dame Lillard. Nobody would take that.
I think the Grizzlies are constructed better than they are.
Yeah,
they were
ultimately. Themselves.
Like, ultimately, they were built around two undersized guards.
Well
– and that, you know, that
yes,
probably limited their ceiling ultimately. The way, with the Grizzlies, if you look at it right now, I mean, they've got a dynamic defensive big man who with the potential to be like a great two-way big man. They've got a great shooter, and they've got, you know, one of the game's best playmakers at point guard. Like, that is who's a true point guard, you know.
I'll just say
who
this.
Who can be a true point
guard. I'll say this. You know, look, we look back on the Portland Trailblazers, and we said they weren't constructed right, but they
it's
had
not they weren't constructed right, just how they were, you know, ultimately, like, you can, you
they
know.
They had two all-stars.
When you're a team like, when you're in a city, when you're Portland or you're Memphis, there are certain limitations. You know, you can't just go out and go get a free agent to, like, change your roster. So at some point, in some ways, you're at the mercy of, like, the draft and things like that because you're a little limited in how you can build your roster.
Well, I mean, they tried to go – they got Norman Powell. Like, they tried to make the move. They
did.
Fooled themselves and thought because of that 2019 push to the West Conference Finals that they were right there. And they made decisions based on a flawed roster.
That was the culmination.
The better comparison, I think, though, ultimately, is that Oklahoma City team from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. That they made the finals one year. They made the conference finals a couple times. And then ultimately – that's why I think when I look at what – the Grizzlies are saying behind the scenes and then what Kleiman said this week about how, you know, basically whoever, if we want someone back, money won't be what stands in the way of mm-hmm. bringing that person back. I mean, like, that's ultimately what happened with Oklahoma City. They basically decided we can't go into the luxury tax.
New rules.
We gotta pick.
Trade
you know,
Harden.
Yeah, and they traded Harden, and it, you know, it never was quite, it never
oh, yeah.
did quite get over the,
oh, you're right.
totally that's... over the hump. And I don't think the Grizzlies are going to, it sounds like they're not going to run into that issue. Now, at the same time, you know, you look, I think right now they view that in terms of, well, we're not going to like let Desmond Bane, even if Desmond Bane needs a max let's say Desmond Bane takes a whole nother step next year and needs like a max, something close to a max contract to keep him. I took that as, we'll do that. I didn't take it as, well, we're just going to like, you know, Dylan will come back.
Oh, yeah.
We'll, you know,
yeah, no.
We'll re-sign Steven Adams and we'll do all, you know, like, no, I didn't take it as that.
I assume Dylan is being dealt.
See, I push back on that. I think it's going to be a lot harder to upgrade from Dylan Brooks than people think.
But are you going to pay him?
You don't have to. I mean, he has one more year left on his deal.
Right.
Like, you can bring him
back.
Well,
this season, right? But then you have a deadline. So are you going to keep the deadline?
And I would say this.
You're not extending
him. Why not? If you could get him on another affordable extension that's very tradable, just like the current one he's on.
I asked John the same question, but do you think Dylan's going to be willing to take that at this age?
That, like,
do you really?
Because he wants to stay. He says he wants to be here. He said, like, he was talking after game six as if he, like, really, like.
But he's older than those dudes.
He's 26. He's the same age as Brandon Clark.
Okay, so
really.
You do two, three more years. You do four more. You're 29, 30.
That's your career.
If you could get him for another, like, three-year, $36 million contract.
Oh, I agree.
I'd do that in a second.
All day if he's coming back on that. But I just don't like Dylan Brooks, Mr. I'm Kobe Bryant. Jimmy Butler is doing that.
But this offseason, because I think there's a little bit of recency bias on Dylan. Like, he just went through an injury-marred year where he didn't have an offseason.
No, as we were talking about earlier, yeah.
He's a worthwhile piece.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's...
Don't get me wrong.
I said this on our show. I think he's a championship player. Maybe not in the current role he's in exactly, but, like, that's a guy you can win a championship with.
If he's playing his role.
And so I'm not just getting rid of him. I'm not going into this offseason going... You got to trade. Like, if they go into next season with Dylan Brooks as their three again, I still think they're going to be a pretty good contender in the West. Like, it's absolutely 100% necessary to get rid of Dylan.
Well, I think you could go into the season with him, right? But then you have a decision that you have to make.
But you are not willing to overpay.
Yeah.
And you're not willing to go through a whole season next year where he walks like a Tyus or Kyle, right? If you're not going to overpay...
I mean, you have two off seasons to try and re-sign him. Like, ultimately, like, that's how I look at it.
Right, but he's going to hit the open market.
Yeah, I know. And maybe you, like, ultimately, and maybe you can trade him. Maybe there's a good trade out there to get rid of him. I just think, like I said, I think upgrading that spot is going to be harder than people think. Dylan Brooks is a pretty good player.
Well, you're kind of clearing it out for Zaire eventually, too. Like, you're talking about upgrading if you think you're going to win a championship next year or the year. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be Zaire's spot next to Bane, right? I mean, it's going to be Ja, Bane, and Zaire eventually, at least the way Kleiman's looking at it right now.
Probably. If Zaire, you know, like, next year we'll see where Zaire's at.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's got to improve. He's got to do his part.
I think they are hoping he makes, like, a Bane-type jump, but he's a little younger than Bane was. I think he's, like, 21. He's a little older than you think. He's like, you know, he was like an old freshman in college. So he's like 20. He's going to be 21 next year.
He fits the other guys perfectly with that timeline.
So, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think, and he, you know, he probably has a higher ceiling because he's 6'10 and he's a little more athletic than Dylan.
Hit some big shots in that fourth quarter.
But he was bad defensively in the playoffs. Like, he couldn't really defend.
He's a rookie.
He couldn't defend anyone yet. No, and that's why, I'm not sold on him. I think you're right.
Fair.
Like, by year three, year four of his career, yes, he's the starting small forward. I think that's how they view it. I just don't know if he's going to be ready for that next year. I think he's going to be better, you know? And so that's why I think maybe you yes, if you can find someone who's an upgrade over Dylan in a trade, by all means, go make that deal. You know, like, we've been doing on our show a trade a day. Like, yesterday, Connor proposed a trade involving Kyle Kuzma. You trade Kyle Kuzma for Dylan Brooks, and
do you think there's any way the Wizards would do that?
Well, we proposed it as it'd be Kuzma. And now that we know their pick because the lottery, Kuzma and the number 10 pick for Dylan and both of the Grizzlies' first round picks. And you know, maybe they want to do it because I agree. I said on air, I don't know if the Wizards would do it. I think you might have to spice it up for them a little more even. Kuzma's got 2 years left on his deal. It's the exact same salary as Dylan, $13 million a year. I think that would fit. But at the same time, I think you can talk yourself into just kind of not necessarily running it back exactly, but bringing back basically everyone. Given the fact that, you know, we truly didn't see what this team was fully capable of because of how little Dylan and Ja played together because of how the breaks went in the playoffs. And I know, you know, part of it is just that's you have to catch breaks in the playoffs. Like that's part of when that's part of, you know, advancing is, you know, you're the team that catches more breaks.
Yep.
But, you know, I think there's a, you know, there's a, I think there's a reasonable argument to say like trade Dylan, really try to upgrade this thing so you, to get you over the top next year. And I think there's also an argument of, you know, maybe like rolling it back out there one more year and seeing if you can catch those breaks this time. Like this team was pretty darn close and things didn't, you know, from the health, from a health and continuity department, like it wasn't like some perfect year, you know? And
right.
so,
right.
It's an, that's why I think it's a really interesting offseason for them. It could be a super, I tend to lean towards they're going to make a move of some kind because they've got all this draft capital.
Exactly.
And what's the, you know, like they, I don't think they want to bring in three rookies.
They're not,
you know?
They're
and
not.
So I think there's going to be a deal of some kind. I do wonder though, if it's the deal, like if it's a deal for like some, I have my doubts it's going to be a deal for some, someone who's going to be better than the Grizzlies' current top three.
Well, I think you have to be careful with that too, right? Like, you have to be careful about taking a swing so soon because what you have, like, what you have is working. We haven't really yet identified something with the Grizzlies that isn't working. It was just a bad break with Ja getting hurt and Steven Adams not being there.
To me, what I, how I would be looking at it if I was GM, and obviously that, that no one here probably wants to.
Well, because you would give Dylan the max.
No, I wouldn't give Dylan the max. What I would do going into next year is I would not do anything with Dylan Brooks, and I would not do anything with Brandon Clark. Both of them would go. I would wait. To,
I would extend Brandon Clark. Right. I mean, that.
No, I would not.
You would not extend Brandon Clark.
Not unless it was a reason, like a unless I was getting him on a like team friendly deal, because I think you need to save your money. Like he's ultimately, is he ever going to start for you?
No.
I don't know. I don't. Like he's a useful, good player.
And I think you'll get him on a team friendly.
Yeah. And so if you can get him on a team friendly deal, sure. Definitely. I would want, I would love, you'd love to have Brandon Clark as your.
He loves playing with Ja. Come on.
Your first like big right. off the
he's
bench.
He's Mr. Team Friendly.
That's a
deal.
Great, that's a yeah. great guy to have as your first big off the bench.
Agreed.
That's so if he want, but like I don't, I would wait and see. Like I feel like you can. There's no rush to sign these guys. I agree
with that.
You know, I guess some of them will be, maybe some of them will take it as a slight. But I would wait on that. What I would be looking at to add is like a, maybe not necessarily, like, I think it's going to be hard to get someone who's like better than Desmond Bain at this point. Like, or even like, again, I think it's going to be harder than you think even to upgrade over Dylan. What I'd be looking for is just another guy who could potentially, when you looked at those games in the playoffs, who could potentially be on the court in the fourth quarter who you can count on to hit a shot. That's what they need to add. It doesn't have to be a star necessarily. It's just like someone who could potentially be out there in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, and you know, like when Ja's driving in the bucket and he kicks it out, you can trust that guy to hit a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Kyle Anderson was a really useful player in a lot of ways, but like you couldn't play him in the fourth quarter sometimes because when Ja kicked it out to him, he wasn't going to hit that shot. And, you know, Dylan, can sometimes be erratic in that regard. Why Tyus became more valuable this year is because he was a guy who could hit a shot. When, you know, he really improved as a shooter. But I think you can get someone who is positionally better suited to play with Ja, who can hit those shots, as opposed to Tyus. You can cover up with Bane, with, you know, maybe a rookie of some kind as your backup point guard, you know, cover up for that. And then I'd try to add, like, through the mid-level exception, I'd try to add, like, another big, like a tough big who could, like a guy who can rebound and play defense as another backup big. That's how I would approach the offseason. And if that player is Kyle Anderson on things come back around and he doesn't get the deal he wants and you bring back Kyle Anderson, yeah, sure, that he could work for that too. I'm making a move to get like some sort of shot maker. But I'm not looking at it in terms of I got to go get like some big name or even someone who's like quote unquote better than Dylan. I just think you need another guy who you can count on to hit a shot when crunch time comes. I don't think they're that far off. Like, I think most of the gains, the biggest gains they can make as a franchise, as a team, as a group, I still think are from within.
Now you're talking my language. Because I think getting Ja and Jaren in a formidable two-man game, pick and roll all day long, is as big right now for this team as anything you could add right now. Just how the ceiling on that with their skills. What's your hope level, your optimism level that they'll get it there? I know they've talked a lot about it.
Yeah, you know, no, Jenkins.
They got to do it.
Jenkins said it.
It's priority number one.
In his exit interview, that one of his big tasks this offseason is figuring out how to unlock those guys further. You know, like, and Ja even talked about it, how, like, ultimately, they just haven't played that many games together.
Is that what we attribute it to most? It's true. It's true. They just haven't.
They just haven't played that many games together.
They talked about being in the gym together all year last summer. You got to be in games together to really
and they talked about the beginning of that Golden State series. I think, you know, especially game one and game two. Game one and then, like, the first half of game two, you saw them working together perhaps better than they had
That's where this needs to go.
And so Jenkins said, yes, that's where he needs to that's where he's going to be focused on. And whether it's, you know, more pick and pops, maybe it's Jaren developing a role game.
He's got the skills to do both.
Yeah. So I agree with you. And then I think it's, you know, like you mentioned Zaire, like Zaire Williams is a guy who could, you know, really potentially change the complexion of the team if he, you know, blossoms quicker than you think. You know, I'm not sure. It feels like Bane is probably, in my mind, I mean, maybe he can jump to a whole nother level. It feels like he's probably close to what he is.
I feel that way too.
Ultimately going to be long term. Ja, I think, is closer than Jaren to being what he's going to be long term. But I think for Ja, like, I look at it as, like, I think he needs to show he can be a little more durable ultimately. And I think that involves, it's not changing your game. It's like being more strategic about
pick
when
your spots.
Like he only needs to be like going full bore into the lane, like crazily in the fourth quarter. Like he needs to develop that mid range pull up game more. He did it. It felt like at the beginning of the season, he was doing it more and then he kind of discarded it as the year went on.
Well, I will say though, he did that against the Timberwolves. And sometimes, like, we didn't necessarily like the result.
He wasn't shooting pull-up jumpers, though. He needs to develop, like, that mid-range game.
Yeah, he's
like,
talking about a pull-up.
Yeah, I'm talking, like, a pull-up jumper. He's got the floater, but it felt like he, in the playoffs, he went away from it more so than in the regular season. I just think, in terms of holding up, you know, he said one of his things is he's looking at next year. Like, I think he feels like he needs to prove he can play, like, 70, 75. You know, I think he knows people look at the fact that he missed like basically 30 games. And so I asked him specifically, I go, do you look at the injuries you suffered this year as like you could have done something differently to prevent them, whether it was, you know, working differently or whatever, or do you view them as like injuries are fluky and like they just happen? And he looks at him, he said, these injuries happened. He looks at him as a fluke. And he said, all my injuries happened like on things I do in every game. Like that's how he phrased it. And, you know, his point there was like, this is just, you know, like, yes, of course I'm going to keep working to be more durable, but ultimately like injuries are injuries. But I also think that's a sign of the way you play sometimes, you know, leaves you vulnerable. And you need to, it's not to say he should change how he plays. Like ultimately, that's who he is. If he changes how he plays, he won't be the same player.
Yeah.
But he needs to be a little more strategic, I would say, about how he deploys all of that. And he can do that by adding some more facets to his offensive game.
We have not had a chance in the last few weeks to get your thoughts on Memphis Tiger basketball. Kidder Davis is going to join us a little bit later today. He's sort of been the face of the offseason for Memphis.
Yeah.
What do you just make of the direction of the Tiger basketball program right now based on what we know?
Honestly, it seems like it's in a – all things considered with what's looming over them with the IRP, I think they're in a pretty good spot. Like ultimately if – as long as if Lester and DeAndre come back and Kendrick is here, like the names can be whatever they are. I think they're going to have a pretty good team next year, to be quite honest. You know, so I think that was just such a huge pickup for Penny, because if you take away them getting Kendrick Davis, you look at this right now, like, they got like 5 scholarships still open right now.
So those 8 and 5.
The whole, like, who knows who's on the staff right now? You know, like, there's a lot of things up in the air. And then we're not even, you know, sort of, you know, Penny hasn't really spoken to the press since the Gonzaga game, but, like, you know, he told Tyler Harris that he wanted a whole new team. Like, you know, and I think that means, if you look at, if you really take a look at this thing, that's going to mean players and
coaches.
Well, yes, like staff, oh, yeah. I would say, like, you know, like, there might be there'll be familiar faces back. But he's also turning over. Like, I'm not even talking about, like, the assistant coaches. Like, beyond that.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, inside the building.
Inside the building
guts,
internally.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing a, like, he is doing a, whether it's by choice or just by the right. nature of the beast at this point in college sports. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a massive overhaul going on behind
the scenes, or will
eventually go on there behind the scenes.
Which I find fascinating in its own right, because they made the tournament last year, and they led by 10 points at half against Gonzaga.
Is it really
the time to be gutting everything and slashing and burning everything?
Well, if you look at it player-wise, they'll still have, you know, ultimately if this thing plays out the way people assume it will, they'll still have Lester, still have DeAndre.
Slashing and burning. Completely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean really more from a staff perspective, right? Like, that's kind of... Like, I do think at some point you would like to settle in.
I mean,
to having gonna, a, you
I think
know.
I think Jermaine Johnson's going to be on the staff. He's been there for the most part. I think ultimately, I think, like, Larry Brown seems like it's up in the air, but, like, you know, I could see it still happening again. You know, I think, like,
my understanding on Larry is that it's probably not.
It sounds like it's shocking. It sounds like it's like kind of like a little bit of an ego thing on all sides. Like,
100%.
You know, like, it's just when you have two powerhouses like that, Penny and Larry, it just it can get complicated.
Yep.
You know, like, and it's not either one of theirs fault. It just
Larry is not under contract, and Larry's not in Memphis, and he won't be in Memphis for a while. So, like, could it get figured out? It could. You know, like, we'll see what Penny wants to do. You know, elsewhere on the staff.
You know, like, I mean, but, you know, like, he's got, you know, Sean Forrest, who's been recruiting for him, was on the staff last year. He's got those, like, Jeremy Kipnis is his name. He coached Jalen Green at a prolific prep.
Yep.
He's like their director of recruiting. Like, he's a pretty solid guy, like, mm-hmm. you know, to have on your staff. You know, so he's got there'll be some familiar guys who were at least there last year.
How important in your eyes is staff for Penny? It's funny, for Josh's whole career, we were saying he needs this guy, this guy, this guy. Have we reached a point where it doesn't matter who he's got? We know when it comes to the Tennessee situation, we've said, well, you need somebody to be able to take care of, hey, who's vaccinated or not. But how critical is staff?
I think it's important that Penny have at least one. He should add one guy who has either significant college experience. That's important, but more important with Penny is just a guy who will actually listen to, like, who he'll actually... You know, like, who actually has this isn't just Penny. This is like every staff in college basketball. Every head coach needs like that one assistant coach who can get in their face and tell them, no, you idiot. Like, this is what you need to do. And it's like, fine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not every coach on a staff can be like that. But like, and like Larry Brown, I'm sure he didn't say no, you idiot to Penny. But like, Larry Brown was that person on the staff. Like, ultimately, like, Penny had to listen to what Larry Brown had to say, because he's Larry Brown. And whether it's Larry Brown or someone else, Penny needs that person, I think. Every head coach needs that person on their staff. And I think he could, you know, Sean Forrest is a guy who's worked in college basketball a long time, so maybe having him on staff will, you know, fill that kind of Madlock-y type role that, you know, Madlock really, really helped Penny a lot in terms of, like, the administration.
I've seen it all.
Of the program, and you see it now with him as a head coach, how, you know, like, he knew how to run a program. So, you know, we'll see. But my bigger picture concern of it is, like, Penny has talked about the past two off seasons, how chemistry was like an issue early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, like, I think part of the chemistry problems is that it takes a long time for him to get everyone into place.
Because they're new team.
Whether it's players or staff, like, guy, you know, like, most, even in this crazy NIL transfer portal world, I bet you if you look around the country, most college basketball teams have most of their staff in place by now.
Correct.
And they have all but a couple players in place by now.
Some are waiting on their draft. Yeah. Guys, but yes.
Yes. Like, and like ultimately you want your full team, staff, and players in place by the time you go to summer school in June. And,
right.
You know, it's the middle, you know, it's the it's middle of June. May. Yeah. It's May 18th. And I don't think Penny's going to be able to do that ultimately. Maybe he's got some things in the works.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.